still a little feedback there coming through, Michael. I hear it anyway, even without my hearing aids, I hear that. Okay. First of all, appreciate you welcoming me back again. Good job this morning, Andre and Faith, and appreciate you folks, your leadership, leading us into the presence of the Lord. It's going to be a good morning. I'm excited about being here. I've been here before, but I see some new faces. That's the one thing I miss as a full-time pastor, is getting to know people and where they're at in life and their struggles and being able to pray for them. I miss that. So if you don't know me, I've been a pastor for 35 years. I'm sort of semi-retired right now, and I just do pulpit supply. I've been here at Fairhaven Mennonite for a number of times. I always appreciate when Rachel or Jennifer invite me back, and it's going to be a good morning. It's already been a great morning. It really has. Lots of activity. This has been great. I love seeing what you do for the kiddos going back to school. That's just fantastic. Keep up that good work. But this morning, I have a message I know that's going to help us. It's going to encourage you. By the way, also, congratulations to our newlyweds. Isn't that great? Coming to church on us. That's fantastic. And to all of you who don't know me, we're first-time friends. I'm glad you're here this morning. It's a good place to be on a Sunday morning. I'm going to share a message with you called Abba Father, real simple. It was interesting that as I heard Andre pray to God, he called Yahweh many times Father God. That's what I want to talk about this morning, that phrase, Father God. But let's pray before we... I need the Lord's help. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to preach and for you to hear this morning. Let's pray God will bless the message, all right? God, take my stumbling words and my stammering lips, and Holy Spirit, translate them into phrases and your truth that will make sense to the ears of the hearers today, God. So use me, I pray, but be glorified, Jesus. Let people be drawn to you, I ask, and that our hearts would be changed. And if there's anyone this morning seeking you, I pray that they'd find you. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'm not a big reality show fan. Not into American Idol and all those. But there's one that I do watch from time to time, and it's called America's Got Talent. And you might recognize that show. I like it because it's not just singing. There's rope jumping sometimes, ventriloquists, jugglers, magicians, singers of all ages, dancing of all styles and mimes. And one particular one caught my attention, though, and it relates to our message this morning. It was a group called Silhouettes. And there were 42 young people, as young as 3, as old as 25, something like that. And they were dancers, but they would come together, and behind a screen would put in front of them. They would be behind the screen. A light would shine from the back, and it would put silhouettes on the screen. So you wouldn't see them, you'd see their silhouettes. And they would form pictures together. They would gather together, and through their shapes and everything, they would create pictures. For instance, they would create pictures of Mount Rushmore, or raising of the U.S. flag by the Marines on Iwo Jima, or the Twin Towers, and things like that. And for instance, I'll show you one phrase of them. They were dancers, and this is sort of what it looked like on America's Got Talent. And then they would start to come together, and they would start to form a shape. And this week would become then the Capitol building, and they did it so perfectly. And they did this to a number of images and shapes. They were called silhouettes because the shadows they would form would portray something in reality. But the shadow wasn't real. What they were portraying was real. In the Bible, God portrays himself many times in the form of shadows. I saw a church sign one time, actual church sign. It said, "Come back home, see God." And I scratched my head. I don't know where they got that theology from. Now, if they could actually see God at that church, I would go to that church right away. But the Bible, we know from the Bible that no one has actually seen God. No one has seen Him face to face. Moses saw the hem of His garment, but not His face or His actual personage. And Paul even says that no one has actually seen God. So what God gives to us to communicate to us what He's like, God wants us to know what He's like. He wants us to know His character, but we can't see Him. So how He does it is He communicates to us in the form of shadows so that we can understand who He is. And God wants to communicate to us what He does in the form of shadows. And He does this throughout Scriptures. And I want to share a few of those with you this morning. And I think they'll make sense. If you're here this morning and you're seeking God, maybe you're not against God. It's just that you don't know God. I'd like to know Him if He's real. So I want to introduce God to you this morning in the way the Scripture does in shadows. And the first one is in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. It's a powerful verse. That's the name of my message, Abba Father. We're going to get to Galatians. But let's read it right now. I'll read the verse and then we're going to do a couple more. Galatians 4, verses 3 through 6 says this. In the same way also when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of this world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And that sons there, that's a generic term that Paul uses the phrase sons, but it's not masculine, it's actually generic. It means sons and daughters. So don't get upset about that he's not inclusive there. He really is. In the Greek, you realize he's talking about male and female there. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir through God. Now, what is God like? Hebrews chapter, he uses shadows. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says this, Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us therefore offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Now, when we read that shadow, it says God is a consuming fire. Sometimes we get a little upset and scared about that. Whoa, God's a fire. I don't want to get near God. He's going to burn me up. But that's not what he means. What it means is that when God's a consuming fire, it means that God changes us. God changes us. He transforms us. He molds us. He fashions us. God is able to shape and bend our rough edges to transform us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God is able to shape our wills to His will. So that's what it means when God's a consuming fire. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, Paul said, If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when you come to know God through Jesus Christ, He becomes that fire that burns away all the ugly stuff and the dross in your life. So God's so powerful, He can transform and shape and bend our fallen, sinful, dirty, depraved natures and change them into someone who reflects His glory and holiness. And I'm glad God can do that. So God is the one who transforms us. He's a consuming fire. The second shadow that we find in the Bible is from Psalm 144, verse 2. I love this one. It's in one of the songs that we sang this morning when it says He's a tower of strength. This one is the shadow of a fortress. He is my steadfast love and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, He in whom I take refuge, who subdues people under me. Now, this shadow of God is powerful because what it says is that not only is God a consuming fire, He's a shield, He's a fortress, God's a stronghold, He's a deliverer, He's a refuge, He's a castle. Not only does God change us, whatever He touches, God changes. Not only does God transform us, but He's a protector. He's a provider if we run to Him. And we see the shadow all the way through the Bible. God takes care of His children, friends. He's a shepherd who guards His flock. You can be sure that when trouble comes, God's going to be your protector. He's your shield. That's what He says. And that's one thing, that's a shadow of God. Now, the third shadow we see is the shadow of a father. And the one that's the most powerful and one of the most used phrases in the entire Bible, other than God being holy, of course. And the picture that God wants to communicate to us, the shadow of God, and that He is most painted with, is the term Father. Most often in the Bible, He is simply referred to as Father. Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And then in Galatians 4:6, the verse that we just read, "And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Now let's camp on that, because I want to tell you, friends, this morning, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. That's a difficult shadow for us to understand God with, and I'll tell you why. It's tough because all of us in this room this morning, no matter who you are, had imperfect fathers. And I'm included in that. So what happens to us is when we look at the shadow and we think the shadow is the form, we think the shadow is the real thing. And so we start to believe that God is like our earthly father. And if our earthly fathers didn't have enough time for us, if they didn't want to talk to us, if they abandoned us, or they didn't care about us, or if our earthly fathers didn't extend grace to us or forgiveness when we needed it, what we start to believe is that God is like our earthly daddies, flawed. And all of our earthly daddies are broken. Now listen, there are many men and women, young people, boys and girls, young teenagers, who won't run to God, who won't run to God for love, who won't turn to God for God's mercy because their daddy just wanted them to do what they wanted them to do. Just leave me alone. And that shadow becomes how we see God as a father. We think, well, I know my daddy. Just do what I say. Just leave me alone. Let's not get too huggy-huggy over this. Just do what I say and then go play outside or something like that. Now, I had a father who was very alienated from me. I've shared this before. My father was not a believer. His father died a drunk along the side of a railroad track. My father could cuss 10 minutes and not repeat himself. He was just he never went to church. So he never had, I don't remember ever my father hugging me. I don't remember my father saying he loved me. Now, I'm not bent out of shape all that, okay? I don't have to go see a counselor for that. I've dealt with that. It's okay. God's delivered me from all that. That's fine. I understand that because daddies are flawed. I understand what sin does to people, all right? But people never understand that God actually delights in His children. God the Father loves His children. And He never grows weary of His children. You see, friends, the shadow is just a picture. The shadow is just a form. It's not the real thing. The shadow isn't perfect. But the thing the shadow represents is perfect. It's right. The shadow represents our perfect Father. Now, here's the best news I can give any one of you this morning, regardless of your age, regardless of who you are, of who your parents were, or who your father was. This consuming fire, this fortress, this shield, this provider, this protector, this infinite, all-powerful God, this Father in heaven, longs to adopt you as a son or daughter and to correct and make right the shortcomings of our daddies and to fill in where they fail, both in them and in us. Let me show you how this works. This is great. In Galatians 4:3, it says, "In the same way, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world." Let me tell you simply what Paul is saying. The elementary principles of the world is simply sin. Why do people go into road rage? Why do people go into shooting sprees? Why do fathers abandon their children? It's very simple. It's all based on the elementary principle of the world. What's wrong with this world? There's so much hatred. It's called sin. Paul's saying there's this elementary principle here that pervades us, that invades us. It's called sin. And Paul says we were all enslaved that way. The Bible says that all of us have sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. Now let me explain to you what he's saying. Paul is saying, you and me, regardless of age, regardless of background, have one thing in common. And here it is. We're sinners. We're sinners. Have you ever lied? Anybody ever lied before? Anybody here ever take something that wasn't yours? Any of you parents ever take Halloween candy from your kid's Halloween sack? So what does that make us? What does that make all of us? Liars and thieves, every one of us. And me too. Now, we want to make excuses many times. You know, I don't really lie. I just stretch the truth sometimes a little bit. I don't really steal. I just borrow something. I'll return it one day. And I can go on and on with all the Ten Commandments. All of us fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us in this room. We're all sinners. But now listen. That sin blocks our adoption from our perfect Father. And look what happens next. It's spectacular. Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law." God's made everything right at the right time to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So what he's saying here is, so he makes the premise, so you're a liar, I'm a liar, you're a thief, I'm a thief, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner, we've all broken the law of God, we're all under its condemnation, but Jesus Christ comes and he obeys every rule, all the laws. He's perfect, he's sinless, he doesn't break any of them. And he says, if we believe in him, he will give to us all of his goodness, his perfect righteousness, and take from us all of our badness, all of our rebellion, all of our sin. Jesus said, I'll take that upon me. And that's what he did on the cross. Jesus didn't come to bring us rules to be followed. Because, friends, we already know the rules, and we can't keep them anyway. How many of you know it's wrong to lie? Every one of us. But we still lie, right? So the problem is that we don't know the law. We know the law. We just can't keep it. The problem isn't the action, you see. It's the heart. It's not the action. It's not the rules. That's not the... It's our hearts. So what you need is a new heart. And that's why Jesus said so clearly, you must be born again. You got to have a new nature. You got to have something to help you keep the law. And most people with church backgrounds struggle with that biblical truth. They think, okay, I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm going to show God that I'm good and I'm right. I'll just follow all the rules of this church. And Jesus comes along and Paul says, that doesn't do it. You can't keep all the laws. You can't be righteous in yourself. You need some help. So Jesus comes and he becomes our righteousness. You see, we think Jesus is just someone who will show us we're in the lake drowning. And we think, okay, I need someone to come in and someone to show me how to swim. I'll get out of this sea of sin. But Jesus didn't come to teach you how to swim. He came to jump in and pull you out and save you. He didn't come to bring new rules to be followed. And that's a difference between knowing what grace is and what it does and how you can control your own salvation. Now, look at verse 6. It says this, "And because now you are sons and daughters, when you receive Jesus, when you realize my badness is too great for me, my sin is too great, what do I do about it?" Jesus comes into your life if you invite Him. You take Him as your Savior. You say, "Lord, I trust in You for my goodness because I don't have any." Jesus comes in, and guess what He does? God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Now listen, friends. When He does that, something miraculous happens. Jesus comes and He lives that perfect life. They nail Him to the cross. Jesus has taken to Himself every lie, every bit of thievery, every bit of rebellion, every bad thing you ever did was absorbed by Jesus Christ on that cross. Like a sponge that absorbs water until you are completely clean of all your badness. And then Jesus replaces it with all of His obedience to the rules. You see, you get the best of Jesus and He takes the worst of you. And in that moment, when you come to know Jesus and He absorbs from you all that sin and that guilt that just was a heavy weight on your shoulders, and all of a sudden that guilt is gone and Jesus comes in and that sin is gone and He's redeemed you and He adopts you as a son or daughter, at that moment the Holy Spirit comes into your life and we cry out at that moment, "Abba, Father." So after our sin is taken from us and we have this exchange with the Heavenly Father, we cry out, and the term is actually Daddy. It's a term of endearment. It's not a term that says, "Oh, our Father, He's so holy and perfect, I can't come near Him." No, it's not that term in the Greek. It's a term of endearment. Daddy. And it means we know He's for us. We know He loves us. We know He's made a way for us. And so that we can pursue Him rather than run away from Him. We don't need to fear Him anymore. And that takes care of the bad stuff. And the bad stuff gets replaced in your life when you find something more beautiful, more lovely, more lasting, more desirable than all the bad stuff. So when we come in here and pray and we sing and we praise the Lord, what are we showing as believers? We're showing that we're sons and daughters of who? This consuming fire, this shield, the castle, the high tower, the provider, the rock, the perfect Father. We're celebrating the fact that we are princes and princesses of this God on high. And we will rule and reign with Him forever. And that's the kingdom we're invited to. God is in the adoption business, friends. My daughter Mindy and my son-in-law Lane recently, about a year ago, adopted a brand new little boy from Haiti. And they spent 4 years after little Julinski was born, they spent 4 years trying to adopt him. And red tape and bureaucracy and refilling forms, and no, this form's not right, refill it. And it would sit on the desk of a bureaucrat in Haiti, and they're not in a hurry there. And so, but they kept it up 4 years, and finally, after 4 years, they finally got the phone call, "Your adoption is final." They flew down to Haiti, and they got to adopt the little boy they'd been praying for. And his name is Julinski. I want to show a picture of him. That's our new little grandson. He's 4 years old. We love him to pieces. We can't wait to see him every time they live in Battle Creek, Michigan. So now we have to make a lot more trips to Battle Creek now to see our new little grandson. He's just a joy. He's learned English in no time. In fact, he was with a little buddy recently from Rivers of Hope Orphanage, which is in Haiti. It's a Christian orphanage there. By the way, his mother was a mother of five, very poor, didn't have a father abandoned, but she wanted his little boy. She couldn't feed him. She knew he would probably die of malnutrition and starvation. She could not feed him. at all. Couldn't take care of him. So in order to give him hope, she walked 20 miles to a Christian orphanage in order to give him up as a baby. So it wasn't an act, it was an act of love. She knew she couldn't, she knew it was impossible for him to have a life there. She wanted something for him. Walked 20 miles and gave him up. And now he's with a loving Christian family. My son-in-law and daughter love the Lord. And he was with a little buddy recently from Haiti also. His name is McMillan. And little McMillan, who's also the same age, they just got him. And he only knew Haitian Creole is what they speak there. And so he was speaking to Drulinski in Creole. And Drulinski says, I don't know what you're saying. He'd forgotten his native tongue already. He says, talk to me in English. The little Mac, I can't talk in English. So, great little boy. But what I'm saying is that the message today is that God is in the adoption business. But the good news is this. When you come to God, it doesn't take 4 years. There's no red tape with God, no bureaucracy with God when you want to know Him. Instantly, you can become a child of God. Instantly, you can become adopted into the family of God. Instantly, you can know God through His Son, Jesus Christ. There's no waiting period. There's no line. There's nothing required other than faith in Jesus Christ. God is in the forgiveness business today, friends. He's in the business of giving grace and showing that He's the perfect Father, unlike our imperfect fathers, always being there for us. And He invites us today to live by grace and not by law. And that's the good news I want to share with you today. I hope that Jesus Christ, you can come to know Him today, every one of you. And that's my message. I always like to preach somewhere a gospel message and show with you how good it is to know God through Jesus Christ. How wonderful it is to know that my sins are washed clean, white as snow, the Bible says. What a wonderful, exciting experience that is, friends. And I hope all of you have experienced it. We need to pray. Let's pray as we close and have communion this morning. God our Father, I pray now that You'll bless this message to our hearts. And that as we take your bread and the juice, God, help us, God, to be reminded of the fact that You loved us so much that You gave Yourself for our badness. And thank You, God, for the time we can share around the table now. Let it be meaningful. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to share communion. It won't take long, friends. You've shared it here before. There's going to be